Hello, and welcome to the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and on this show, we interview today's industry leaders in talent acquisition to discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds. If you are working in talent acquisition and have always wanted to sit down with your peers at other companies to exchange ideas and learn, well, this show is the next best thing. Join us each week as we bring you a new expert interview and extract their expertise. This episode is brought to you by SageMark HR. Transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology. Selecting the right recruiting solutions to enable your strategy is one of the biggest challenges leaders face today. You know technology will help, but searching all the options to find what will work best for your specific needs can be overwhelming and time-consuming. At SageMark HR, we make selecting the right recruiting technology easy. Our proven process has helped companies such as 3M, Comcast, Stryker, Walgreens, and many more. Reach out to us at SageMark HR for a free consultation to learn how we can help you improve results with less stress and confidently change from reacting to leading. Today, we have a great discussion with a good friend of mine, Michael Gruber, who is the SVP of Talent Acquisition at Compass Group. Michael and I have been friends for a long time. He's a really impressive and innovative talent leader, and I hope you enjoy our discussion. So, Michael, welcome. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you, Ryan. I'm glad to be here, and hopefully, I can share some things that are worthwhile for others.
Yeah, great. So just to start off, maybe give a little bit more of an introduction about yourself and your current role.
Yeah, for sure. So again, Michael Gruber, I'm located here in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is the headquarters for North America for Compass Group. We're in the food service industry, and we like to say we work in four super sectors of healthcare, sports and entertainment, education, and then business and industry. So anywhere you can think of having a meal in a workplace or hospital, education, outside of your home, many environments at a stadium, we're the number one provider out there globally. But my team is accountable for what we do here in the U.S. and North America for us is the U.S. and Canada. But my scope of responsibilities is strictly U.S. And I've been here a little over 3 years. And it's a very fast-moving company. We at any time have, you know, right now, for example, 15 to 16,000 hourly jobs open and close to 1,000 professionals. So we are always hiring across the U.S. at all levels.
Yeah, lots of volume, right? Every time we talk, I think on an annual basis, you're well over 100,000 hires per year, correct?
Yeah, definitely. Well over 120,000. The last time I looked, the last year we hired. So yeah, we're always very busy. And that's a lot of it is due to growth as well.
Great. So let's dive into your background a little bit before we talk more about Compass Group. So just share a little bit about your background and specifically how you got into talent and talent acquisition.
Yeah, sure. So it really was way back. I did a stint in the military, like a lot of people. I was in the U.S. Army. I feel very old saying this, but back in the 90s, I did 6 years and I was stationed over in Germany and I got to travel all over to different places in Europe. But my job was HR. We called it personnel in the military, but it was essentially HR for the military. And that's where I got exposed to HR. Now, of course, it's different for the military, but at the same thing, there was a lot of things that transitioned over into civilian life. So when I exited in the late 90s, I got back into recruiting and I got into what was new at the time called recruitment process outsourcing, RPO. And I was with a company that was a startup and then bought by a larger company and then eventually moved out and became minority owner of another company we started. And we grew quite big in about 8 years and we grew from about four of us to, you know, close to 800 plus or so, if I remember right, when we sold. And then we were, again, bought by a larger company. And I stayed there doing RPO for a while. And then Compass was really my first move outside of outsourcing and RPO in with one particular company, which was a great move and great fit because we have 28 plus brands under us. And it feels like 28 different companies servicing them with one talent acquisition team similar to how RPO would be, one big team of recruiters with a bunch of clients.
Great. Thanks a lot. Thanks for sharing that. And yeah, you've got a diverse background, a lot of good experience and a lot of experience with working with a lot of different organizations. So that's excellent. So let's dive a little deeper into your current role at Compass. You talked a little bit about the scope and the type of volume. Help me understand and talk a little bit about the journey that you've been on. So kind of where you were when you joined Compass Group and kind of where you've brought the organization. You've done some really, really impressive things.
Yeah, sure. So I appreciate that. And I always give credit to the team I have because they have a lot of great ideas. And we're always thinking about, especially from a technology standpoint, you know, we have really good partners with our current ATS platform, but we also are realistic and know that the ATS industry, it's very hard for them to keep up on recruiting technology overall. And what we always do here is kind of look at what's the next best thing out there. Not that we always have to be bleeding edge, but when you're typically, if you're the sixth largest employer in the world at any time, you want to stay on top of things and stay abreast of what's out there. So when I came here a little over 3 years ago, I give the people before me a lot of credit because they were just bringing together more of a centralized talent acquisition team. I should say they just did that before I arrived not long. So they were just growing accustomed to having the centralized talent acquisition model where 100,000 plus hires a year, whether hourly or professional, will go through same teams. But I think the first thing I did was, even though we were all operating somewhat within the same ATS, the same model, we still were somewhat separated and siloed by whether we were healthcare or education or business and industry and so on. So we did a lot of work just internal with us to bring ourselves together, to look at things similar, to become more consistent, share best practices, all the things you would want a recruiting team to be. And then we all know that it's always hard in TA to go and say, let's add, you know, many heads because you want recruiters to have lower workloads and lower rec loads and be able to deliver faster, better, and all those good things we talk about. So we really started to look at, once we came together as a team more and started to share more broadly and not stay as siloed within our sectors, we started to look at it as what can we do technology-wise to make things more efficient. We focused a lot on the candidate experience because we fundamentally felt if the candidates have an easier time, therefore the recruiters and the managers will have an easier time. So we did a lot of things, and I'll just whip through them quickly here, Ryan, so you can understand. But if you imagine in the first 18 months, we implemented a text technology to help with candidate engagement and candidate capture and all those things that you can do through chatbox as well as replicate through SMS text the same way you could if they choose to sit down through a desktop environment. And then also we bolted on a CRM platform to help us with managing pools and marketing campaigns, et cetera, all the things you do with a CRM platform. And we also went and looked at different assessments for hourly, different assessments for the professional, and came up with a new set of assessments for each. And then also started to look at how we engage and utilize video, whether it's live or recorded technology. And then also we looked at some things related to the background. So we have a lot of new partners, vendors, some call them. We like to refer to them as partners in the works from the start of the process all the way to the end, fully integrated with the ATS. And the end result is really a full end-to-end seamless environment, mobile optimized for the candidate. So even though we had to bolt a lot of things on, it's not as obvious to the candidate as they migrate from stage to stage, you know, what system they're in. But again, hopefully that's a good summary, Ryan, that we really did go out and try to go with best of breed in all those areas for technology and integrated them fully. And we continue to look at what's out there and thinking, you know, what we may be able to jump on next that we don't have today.
Yeah, I think I appreciate you kind of going over that, and what you've done is really impressive. I couldn't agree more with all the organizations I work with. You know, it's pretty routine that they've purchased an applicant tracking system or have an applicant tracking system in place with hopes that they would, that would be able to be their technology that they need to have a seamless and optimized end-to-end process. And it just doesn't work effectively as it should. And so really to truly optimize, you need to go out and look at the right fit solutions to integrate and to add on to that if you really want to start having a best-in-class performance. So kudos for you for doing that. And you guys have done a really great job. If you wouldn't mind, you know, we kind of talked about some of the successes or whatever, but share some of your data. Your data is really impressive. And I've mentioned it to some other people, like, you know, the number of people that you hire with how many people are on your team and kind of the cycle time it takes and things like you've got some really, really impressive results.
Yeah, it is a good point. And it will bring up something else we did too, Ryan, that is non-technology, but enabled by technology. So I think where people kind of fall out of their chairs if I tell them that in general or typically our hourly team, you know, we have a really fantastic team of maybe 30 people or so that handle that 100,000 plus hourly hires a year. But they're able to do it due to a lot of the technology we implemented. And we still have examples where a hiring manager will say, because things have been seamless for the candidate, I opened a rec, a candidate applied that day, got through initial pre-screen, got through the assessment, had a pre-recorded video interview, and the manager may have had two or three candidates within 24 hours, and they looked at those assessment scores, pre-screen, and then the video recording and said, I can really pick up the phone and offer the one I think is best fit now, as opposed to now playing phone tag and bringing them all in. So, you know, it's just done a lot for our managers out in the field who are very busy, and recruiting's not their expertise, but they certainly want it to be an efficient process when they have to engage us. So we do have some very good cycle time too. Like our average cycle time right now for our hourly positions is in general roughly 10 or 11 days. So that is very low. And I think it's because we have so much of this technology and we can move massive amount of candidates through the process at once. And then on the professional side, it's more of a traditional setup where they are more or less broken out by function and then dedicated to sectors, but they have their expertise in technology, finance, et cetera. But I also think what we did with the CRM, which is a great platform, we tend to find that those things go unused if you don't supplement it with a good sourcing team. So we did add a sourcing team behind the front-facing recruiters, and we grew that over the years on the team so that they truly had support for tough-to-fill positions when they have to pipeline proactively ahead of time. And we also have some very good stats, especially within some of our sectors, where we have people dedicated to going out and hiring before new business, and that's really shortening the professional cycle time as well.
Great. Thanks for sharing that. So let's talk a little bit about now current state. And as you look at 2021, so what are some of like the current initiatives that you're focused on this year or the biggest challenges that you're facing currently?
Yeah. And I think because 2020 was so unique for everybody, I think we're all still, it's funny because I think we all talk as though we're past the height of the pandemic, yet, you know, we just had some of the biggest record-breaking days of that of the pandemic. So it's this unusual feeling of we're still in the pandemic, but somehow we all feel like we're over it or past the worst point. So I think that's where we are for primarily as a business, where you hear of restaurants and other things of that nature being impacted. And, you know, because of the environment we're in, food service, we're heavily impacted as well, although we've fortunately stayed busy in certain areas. And so it's been a pleasant surprise that we've done very well in a bad situation. But I think we're still all waiting to see if we have our normal high season in the summer where we really gear up for our education accounts, et cetera. And we feel very confident that we will. So I think we're planning on coming out of the pandemic after things have really slowed down a great deal and coming back right at the time we typically have our highest season. So it's that, a little bit of that double whammy for people becoming anxious where you're coming out of your lowest point when it comes to hiring and going into your highest point from a calendar perspective at the same time. So we're really doing a lot to plan for that and be prepared for that. And then I think also we are trying to figure out, since a lot of different things changed during the pandemic, we're now considering, how can we spread out some of the video interviewing more? How can we do some of these things that people got more accustomed to doing remote, that we fortunately had tools at our disposal, but noticed an uptick in them, that we can spread out a little bit more easy now because people quickly became more acclimated with them. But then I think also one of the big things we really want to try to tackle is, Compass Group, we know, is not still a well-known brand, because we survive so much by our 20 plus brands underneath the Compass umbrella. And although everything is centralized from an HR and talent acquisition perspective, you know, we still struggle for that instant name recognition. So I think that's a big one this year. We're trying to look at ways that maybe we can become better well-known. I don't think we'll ever be a household name, but maybe try to advertise what we're all about as an organization, how well we did and fared through the pandemic, and how well our business has grown even through the toughest time. So I think branding and how that we can somewhat piggyback our story from a talent acquisition perspective, that's one of the big ones. So just coming out and ramping up the branding, and then I think continue to evaluate what we can do with all of our current tech partners, because I think what we got in business with them for maybe 2 or 3 years ago probably is shifting already, and we may want to look at new ways of doing things as well.
Yeah, great. It's ever evolving. That's for sure. It's really amazing that the tech space. I'm in it every day, and the evolution and capabilities and changes that occur in such a rapid state environment like that. It's really amazing. So let's shift gears now and talk a little bit on the future. I'm going to have you be a little bit of a futurist. No pressure, but talk to me a little bit about what you see in the future for talent acquisition, and what do you think the future holds for talent acquisition? What are some key things that you're looking at?
Yeah. Well, I think one thing I've noticed a great deal is that a lot of technology and recruiting is finally kind of giving the hourly candidate its due. I mean, you know, there's always job boards out there, but you think of high level positions, how, whether it's contingent or retained search, you can always treat, you know, professional candidates very well. And ATSs were built always more for professional level candidates. But I've noticed that there's a lot more hourly capabilities in terms of recruiting technology coming into play now, which is very interesting, because I see a lot of them realizing that your typical ATS isn't built for an hourly, whether it's the speed or the process or both or other things. So I'm seeing a lot more of that, and a lot of them are savvy enough to know they have to overlay on top of your ATS, because you still need that for compliance reporting and other things. So I'm real interested in continuing to look at, you know, the backbone of our hiring is our employee hourly population. They're the ones out in the field and everywhere you go day to day, they're the ones making things happen. And, you know, that's where we get, I hate to say it, but the most noise when our great managers in the field who work hard, when they don't have the hourly employees to make things happen, you know, that's when we feel the pinch. So I think the more we're going to continue to research, hopefully an evolution of, it's not just a bunch of things you bolt on to an ATS for that hourly experience, that it's something that is all in one, and you could just overlay the entire thing on the ATS. I think that's going to progress rapidly, especially for those who have volume hiring. Then I also think what's long overdue is kind of that one-stop shop for candidates in terms of, you know, like an Amazon for jobs. Everything is there. I think you have glass doors where, sorry if I'm saying names of things, but I think you have these places where you can go and you can put your opinion about a company, current or a company you're in the interview process for, and you can give opinions and what it means to work for that company or be in the hiring process. I think you can also look at companies and try to understand different places where, what's their pay like, what's their process like, but, you know, and then where is the job? You can go to different job boards, you can go to different career pages. But if you think about what a candidate has to go through to figure out how to apply for a job for one company, what kind of company it is, their culture, what kind of career progression, what their pay scale might be like, they're going and bouncing around to maybe 3 or 4 sites or more for just one company. And I think what's coming eventually is hopefully something for the candidates that all of this is wrapped into one. You know, we've seen big job boards when we used to say the term death of the big boards not long ago. And then another came along and wrapped it all into one. And now we know there's one big one out there and then some secondary ones. So I think something of that nature is coming, where it's going to be like the Amazon for finding jobs and careers, but it's putting a heck of a lot of things out there together in one place where candidates can truly go and not only find jobs, but a lot more, you know, deeper perspectives out there about each company they're interested in and the industry as well.
That's great. Great. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. So the last question for you, what piece of advice would you give others in the talent acquisition profession, or you can take it, what would you give your younger, what advice would you give your younger self knowing what you know now?
Yeah. You know, I would say, even with all the technology, I look at how long I've been in it. Technology is wonderful. It enables processes and make things more efficient. There's always the expense with it. But I always tell people the human element is never going away from recruiting. I know people have always talked about, you know, AI and whatnot taking over, and I think it's only going to help and enhance. But I think no matter how much technology, no matter how much your process is efficient and has automation somewhat supplied throughout it, I always tell people that your relationship with the candidate and the hiring manager is way more than half the battle half the time. So I would always encourage people to stay abreast and study not just technology you have as a company, but what's out there, what's coming next, so you can be prepared for it and maybe suggest it for your company. But I also always say relationship will always be more than half the battle for recruiting. And I think it all starts more so with the hiring manager population. And we all know we have some that are tougher than others. And those are the ones to start with. So the tough hiring managers, those are the ones to keep, you know, tabs on, talk to them regularly, get to know them, and really truly understand what they're looking for. Because I think those are the ones that make a difference between a really good talent acquisition team and one that's maybe just mediocre. And I think we've all been through that too, where managers really gravitate more towards a recruiter than anything else. So no matter what the technology or process and other things are related. So the manager relationships with the recruiter is very important. And I would say a lot of recruiters, I think with the advent of a lot of technologies, just continue to overlook that and try to do a lot of things by email and other ways that just aren't as effective. So relationships would be my parting thought.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Michael. I always tell, you know, the clients that I work with and things that, hey, there's some amazing technology out there. First, I kind of want you to think about how can we leverage technology to take care of kind of those high volume transactional, lower value activities in the recruiting process. And really the design is to free up your recruiters for the highest value activities and building those relationships and having those conversations with hiring managers and candidates is really key and really critical. So I definitely agree with that. So thank you very much. Thank you for that. Thank you for sharing all your knowledge today. Really appreciate you being a part of this and wish you well.
Thank you, Ryan. Glad to be your guest.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. If something we said today resonated with you, please subscribe, rate, and download our podcast and share the episode with your network. Ready to transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology just like our other clients at 3M, Comcast, Stryker, and Walgreens? Then reach out at sagemarkhr.com for a free consultation.